Good morning. Whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. We are a spiritual community dedicated to a free and responsible search for truth, meaning, and beauty. I'm Reverend Chris Jimerson, one of the co-lead ministers here at the church. My pronouns are he, him. It's a joy to be with you this morning. I especially want to welcome you if you're new to the church, if you're joining us remotely, and if you can, please say hello in the comments and let us know from where you're watching the service. If you're here in person, please join us for the social hour after worship. Either way, we invite you to fill out our online visitor form. You just go to austinuu.org, click on worship, and then you'll see the link to the form. We would love to have you fill that out so we can get to know you just a little bit better. Today we'll have a special service focusing on our climate crisis and the nationwide Unitarian Universalist climate justice revival in which the church has been participating throughout this month of September. We are so glad each of you have joined us for this important service on a topic so central to our faith. You are welcome here. You belong here. We come from a long tradition of seeing a spark of the divine in every person, and it's in that tradition, our living tradition, that I invite you to greet the holy among us, either by turning to those around you if you are here in person, or in the comments if you've joined us online.
Please join me in the words for lighting the chalice. This is the flame we hold in our hearts as we strive for justice for everyone. This is the light we shine upon systems of oppression until they are no more.
This is the warmth we share with one another as our sorrow becomes our salvation.
A call to worship this morning is by Margaret Atwood, a white Canadian novelist, poet, and literary critic, known for The Handmaid's Tale. This reading is called The Moment. The moment when, after years of hard work and a long voyage, you stand in the center of your room, house, half-acre, square-mile, island, country, knowing at last how you got there, and say, I own this. That's the same moment when the trees unloose their soft arms from around you, the birds take back their language, the cliffs fissure and collapse, the air moves back from you like a wave, and you can't breathe. No, they whisper. You own nothing. You are a visitor, time after time climbing the hill, planting the flag, proclaiming, we never belonged to you. You never found us. It was always the other way around.
One of the things that holds First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin together is that we have a common religious purpose. For this church, that common purpose is our mission. The congregation wrote it together. We put it on our wall in the sanctuary. And every Sunday, those of us here in worship say it together so that we might more readily carry it in our hearts throughout the week. Let's do so now. Together, we nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice to build the beloved community.
Took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay you paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put it with a DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, won't bring me the birds and the bees. Please, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay you paradise, put up a parking lot. Late last night, I heard the screen door slam, and a big yellow taxi took away my. Till it's gone, they pay you paradise, put up a parking lot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay you paradise, put up a parking lot. They pay you paradise, put up a parking lot. Up a parking lot.
Now it's time for our reading today. It's called How the Earth Transforms Us by Thomas Starr King from an 1863 sermon entitled Lessons from the Sierra Nevada. Thomas Starr King was an American Universalist and Unitarian minister. Starr King was a dedicated abolitionist and supporter of black liberation. He was credited by Abraham Lincoln with preventing California from becoming a separate republic, and he is sometimes referred to as the orator who saved the nation. He says, I believe that if on every Sunday morning before going to church we could be lifted to a mountain peak and see a horizon line of 600 miles enfolding the copious splendor of the light on such a varied expanse, or if we could look upon a square mile of flowers representing all the species with which the creative spirit embroiders a zone, or if we could be made to realize the distance of the earth from the sun, the light of which travels every morning 12 millions of miles a minute to feed and bless us, and which the force of gravitation pervades without intermission, to hold our globe calmly in its orbit and on its poise. If we could fairly perceive through our outward senses one or two features of the constant order and glory of nature, our materialistic dullness would be broken. Surprise and joy would be awakened. We should feel that we live among the play of infinite thought and of the devout spirit.
This is the time in our service when we center ourselves together. We breathe together. And breathing together, we sense one another's loving presence. Breathing in, breathing out. We follow our breath to a deeper place inside, a place of greater wisdom, that place where we center ourselves in a great love for the web of all existence of which we are part, where a spark of the divine resides within each of us. Breathing together, we enter into a time of sacred silence together, remembering that we also hold sacred human sounds, including those of small children. Breathing together, let us enter that time of sacred silence together. I invite you now to light candles if you're so moved, candles representing sorrow, joy, hope, remembrance, resilience, whatever is on your heart at this time. As we light our candles, I invite you to keep in your heart members of our community who are ill or in sorrow, as well as those who are celebrating joys. Our hearts go out to all those who have suffered loss and trauma as a result of Hurricane Helene. Now let us enter into a time of candle lighting and meditative quiet, holding the meditative quiet when the music comes to an end.
They're cutting down trees, they're putting up reindeer and singing songs of joy and peace. Well, wish I had a river I could skate away on, but it don't snow here, it stays pretty green. I'm gonna make a lot of money, then I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. Well, wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to fly. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. Sad. Now I've gone and lost the best baby that I ever had. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to thank you.
This month at the church, we've been participating in the nationwide Unitarian Universalist Climate Justice Revival. So it is sadly synchronistic that as we entered this capstone weekend and worship service of our month dedicated to climate justice, we've witnessed the heartbreaking destruction and loss of life caused by Hurricane Helene. Because of the climate crisis, our existing model for tracking and predicting hurricanes has become woefully inadequate. The model is based largely on maximum sustained wind speed, and because of warming seawaters, these storms are growing more powerful with higher winds developing. This has even led some scientists to propose adding categories 6 and even a 7 to our current 5. Perhaps even more significantly, our storms can intensify much more rapidly as Helene did, and they are massive. So they can bring greater destruction over a much wider swath of areas, as we've just seen, and they can cause much greater damage and loss of life even at lower categories, because even with lower wind speeds, they now bring such immense tidal surges, rains, and other storm effects. And these ever more threatening hurricanes are just one of the many increasingly severe weather events we're enduring across the globe because of the human-caused climate crisis. Now, I suspect I don't need to convince most of you that the climate crisis is real, that it is a huge threat, and that it is, in fact, being caused by humans. So, if I have any climate crisis deniers listening in this morning, rest easily, I'm not going to try to convince you to change your minds. In fact, the folks who study these things say that would most often be a waste of time. That we're better off talking with folks who are convincible but not yet engaged, as well as talking amongst ourselves, those of us already believing the climate crisis science, so that we're moved to hope and action and not mired in despair over how daunting the climate challenge really is. So many, many thanks to church members Victoria and Bob Hendricks for leading so many activities, artistic projects, discussions, and more this month that have allowed folks of all ages in this church to talk about the climate. Each week, Bob and Victoria have led us in a different area of exploration. Their first weekly theme was personal action to fight climate change. As you heard earlier, folks in this church sent over 8,000 postcards to climate-engaged but inconsistent voters, encouraging them to get out and vote in this election. Further, we've discussed that we can all reduce our carbon footprint. We can all vote. We can all take public action on the climate crisis. And studies show that the more each of us do that, the more other folks will join in and do so also. Well, the next theme is how a fight for any social justice is a fight for climate justice. Bob sent me this picture from one such discussion where folks in this church put magnetic markers on a board to show the justice concerns we address. First, I am struck by such a wonderful range of social justice concerns. Second, they are all so intersectional. Here are just a few examples related to climate justice. Immigration. The climate crisis is driving huge increases in migration as folks are forced to leave their native lands that are becoming uninhabitable. We know that LGBTQ plus youth are much more likely to experience housing insecurity and are thus more likely to be extremely endangered by climate events like Hurricane Helene. BIPOC folks are disproportionately being displaced by climate gentrification as extraordinarily wealthy, mostly white folks, take over geographic areas less likely to be as susceptible to the ravages of climate change. Democracy. We know that severe weather events make it much more difficult for low-income and poor people to vote. And our areas of justice are also interconnected because we have more power when we know they intersect, and so we combine our efforts. Victories in one area of justice so often lead to victories in others. The next theme is that we have to talk about the climate crisis. Telling our stories is one of the most powerful ways we can encourage one another to join and or stay in the fight. Stories like in the film, Cooked, Survival by Zip Code, that we showed at the church during the revival. It tells the heart-rending story of a tragic heat wave in Chicago in which 739 citizens died over the course of a single week, most of them poor, elderly, and African American. Intersectionality. In a wonderful TED Talk called The Most Important Thing You Can Do to Fight Climate Change, Talk About It, climate scientist Catherine Hayhoe acknowledges that talking about it can be really hard. She says that rather than talking about science and facts, we should look for shared values to discuss. I have a friend who's more conservative, but who loves nature and gardening. The climate crisis is changing what plants they can choose in their garden, and it's altering some of our mutual favorite nature spots. And that has opened up a whole conversation between us that was never possible before. Well, our final theme this month is the importance of public policy in combating the climate crisis. You see, the truth is, while all of our individual efforts are absolutely vital, they will never be enough to overcome the damage inflicted by large corporations that are placing short-term profits over people's lives and even their own long-term viability. That's right. The only thing that can stop them is public policy, and so they are spending billions to make sure their voices are louder than ours. And that can be discouraging, I know. But we can vote in greater numbers. And as our story earlier talked about, we may have less dollars, but we can come together and make sure that we have many, many more voices to amplify than they do. Bob Hendricks tells the story of how by 2021, climate activists had grown greatly discouraged by how, despite putting pressure on Congress for many years, their voices were getting drowned out by the corporate lobbyists. But then the Biden administration introduced the Build Back Better Act, and due in large part to those climate activist efforts, it included billions in funding to fight the climate crisis. Through many a battle, even after it looked like we might lose several times, eventually we got a version passed that includes provisions that could reduce carbon pollution by 43 to 48% by 2035. My beloveds, we can have hope. We can win the battle to begin reversing this crisis. Just visit drawdown.org and see the multitude of science-backed ways in which we can do it. As our call to worship and our reading earlier illustrate, we can find hope by remembering that we are inextricably woven within the web of all existence and letting the beauty of that center us in a great love for it, just as we have centered our UU faith in love. And one of the ways that we do that is through embodied ritual. So this morning, I want to invite you to participate in one such ritual. We have provided you with these sheets of water-soluble paper. And yes, it is environmentally friendly, even after dissolved in water. I'm going to play a video shortly featuring just some of that for which we are centering ourselves in love. I invite you, as the video plays, to contemplate just two things. One, where you find hope and love regarding the climate crisis. And two, at least one commitment you will make to combat it. Then, I invite you to either write these on your paper or simply whisper them into it. If you're online, please feel free to post your comments in the comments. All blessings upon these waters. All blessings upon the hope, love, and commitment you have blended into them.
Please join me in the words for extinguishing the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again.
For our benediction, I offer you words from international Buddhist faith healer Thich Nhat Hanh. This beautiful, bounteous, life-giving planet we call Earth has given birth to each one of us, and each one of us carries the earth within every cell of our body. We can all experience a feeling of deep admiration and love when we see the great harmony, elegance, and beauty of the earth. A simple branch of cherry blossom, the shell of a snail, or the wing of a bat, all bear witness to the earth's masterful creativity. When we can truly see and understand the earth, love is born in our hearts. We feel connected. This is the meaning of love, to be at one. Only when we've truly fallen back in love with the earth will our actions spring from reverence and the insight of our interconnectedness. May we heed his words. May the congregation say, Amen,
amen.
And blessed be.
Blessed be.
Go in peace.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.